The reading was from Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And it wasn't just a coincidence that this was read. So, you know, we have Jesus reading a prophetic scripture 800 years prior, written, and it was all about him. It was all about him. And then Jesus, with everyone looking, he proceeds to tell him that this promise was about him. And when he did this, Jesus was identifying himself as the promised Messiah. And when we think about restoration, this passage is a declaration of purpose. Jesus is coming to earth, you know, and it's his mission, it's his statement, and it's all about restoring that which was lost. Restoration is what Jesus is all about. Amen?
Amen.
Man, aren't you glad he restored you this morning? Amen?
Amen.
He took what was old and ratted out and broken down and he made it new again. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. You know, the power of the cross is an amazing thing when we think about it, because in order for true restoration to take place, there is a requirement. There is a righteous requirement of God's law, and the law had to be fulfilled. And where there is sin, there must be a penalty. And God's holy law demands a penalty for sin, and Jesus' death on the cross fully satisfied. Think about this. Jesus' death on the cross fully satisfied the need for the punishing of sin. Jesus took the punishment that we deserve, that I deserve, upon himself, and now there is nothing left for us to do but to accept God and his word. It's nothing else. That song that we sang, we accept the offering of God's forgiveness. I praise him for that. I accept it. Amen?
Amen.
That song that we sang, marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the bold of the Lamb was split. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen. That's a powerful message right there in that song. Because without him pursuing us, without him wanting to restore us, without God sending his son here to make that restoration happen, and Jesus dying on a cross and being resurrected, we would not have this grace that was given, that marvelous grace that's greater than all of our sin. Amen?
Amen.
You know, the cross is the legal basis for our restoration. And the price for restoration has been paid in full. I think about that. Man, I would love to get a brand new old vehicle that was paid in full. That would be quite a present, wouldn't it? You think about that. Somebody just walks up to you and say, here's a brand new car. What do I owe you for it? Nothing. I paid for it.
You paid for it.
It's yours. Drive it. You think about that. Boy, we jump for joy, that, right? Man, I want to jump for joy because Jesus paid that price for me. He gave me my salvation free.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
That is a valuable present. One that exceeds anything else. Oh. You know, it doesn't end there. Jesus not only died on the cross for our sins, he also was raised to life So just as our old life was crucified with Christ, we have a new life in His resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
You know, all this is done by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, this work could not be completed. Restoration is the work of the Holy Spirit, and we can't just will restoration into existence. I can't just look out to the window and look at that old truck out there and say, it's done. I can't do it. I want to do that really bad, but I can't, because I know it's going to take time, and it's going to take work. It's going to take money, and that's something I don't have much of. But it takes work. God knows that. This work that the Holy Spirit does, you know, it requires a supernatural heart change. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. You know, over 500 years before the birth of Christ, God gave this powerful promise of restoration through the prophet Ezekiel. And God promised that He would make us totally clean and that He would change our hearts. Think about that. All of this happened only through the work of the Holy Spirit. Shortly after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. And we read about that in Acts on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is still here working today. It's not just something we read about that happened 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. It still happens today. The Holy Spirit still works in people's lives. It still restores people back to our Lord and Savior.
Good. Good preacher.
You know, the Holy Spirit takes the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross and applies that power to our lives, enabling us to become what God wants us to be. It's that work. The only way that we can be who God wants us to be is to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life. It's not something that we can will to be done. It's not something that we can work to be done. It's something that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do. And that supernatural power will transform you and me into what God wants us to be. Might be an old Cadillac, like I said. It might be an old truck, and it might be a 69 Dodge Charger. That's another one. That's a good one, isn't it? 440. Big block. There's nothing like the sound of that. Man, we can get excited about those things though, right?
Yeah.
I'm not done yet. You know, the biggest thing, and I talked about this, I think, on Wednesday. I think one of the things that we fail the most is choice, making the choices to do things that God wants us to do. I think we fail that the most in our lives, our daily lives. We either choose what God wants us to do or we choose what we want to do. But we all have that choice and we all must make that choice. God gave us that freedom to make that choice here. We have a free will to make a choice. One of these days, He'll make that choice. He'll be the judge and He'll be the righteous judge. And He's already set up. He's already told us in the Scripture. If you read your Scripture, He's told us what a righteous judge does and how a righteous judge will judge. But He says, if you'll make the choice, I'll honor that choice through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen. We will never experience restoration without making a decision to completely abandon our former life. Our former life of sin. We must make a choice. Do we really want salvation and forgiveness? The healing of restoration that Jesus promises to each and every one of us. Do you really want that? Do you really want that? Or do you want to continue to wallow in the sin and in the garbage and in the doubt with no hope? Do you want to continue in that life? That's a point. Forgot to turn the sound down. You know, it's not an easy decision. You know, we have a choice to either live in the world, to live in this world, living by this world's standards, or we have a choice that we can live by God's standards. And we can do what God wants us to do. And we can live in that freedom that we know. And it's not that we're not going to have problems. It's not that we're not going to have issues in our life. It's the fact that I know and I have hope in my heart. I have the knowledge in myself. I feel the Holy Spirit's presence in my life, and I know that no matter what happens to me here on this earth, I know one day God's going to bring me before the throne and everything's going to be okay. I believe that. I believe that. You know, it sounds like an easy decision sometimes, and it is. But it's a decision that we will be required to make over and over and over again. That's why Paul says in Galatians to stand firm. We must continue to opt out of the sin and bondage of this world and choose Jesus every day. Amen. I choose Him today. I chose Him yesterday. He chose me first. He sought after me. He chased me. He left the 99 to come after me. He fought off the predators that was after me, and He still does it today. And I live in that faith. I live in that, knowing that no matter what I go through, no matter what happens to me, He's right there to fight my spiritual battles for me. I may have to fight physical battles. I may have to fight battles with people here on this earth, but my battle is not with flesh. My battle is a spiritual battle. But you know what? When I'm walking with Christ, that battle is fought for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I know that sin comes in, and we never are perfect. We're never going to be absolutely perfect until Christ comes again. And that's why, you know, we have this battle that we fight, but I know that Jesus is by my side every day. You know, we got to examine ourselves. We got to arm ourselves with the truth that sin has no mastery over me. We are not subject to His power. We have been set free through Christ, and we can overcome every temptation. Amen. Amen. Man, I love, you know, we don't have to worry about them things anymore. Most Christians want thrill or joy. It's kind of funny about that, but A.W. Tozer wrote this. Most Christians want thrill or joy, but do not want the holiness or the purity of the Spirit-filled life. May that never be true for me. May that never be true for you. God wants to be in your life every day. He wants to walk with you. He wants to visit with you. You know, when He went into the garden, He desired. He would go to the garden and walk with Adam. Man, wouldn't it be an amazing time to just walk with the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
But he pursued Adam. He came to Adam to walk with him. And he wants to walk with you too. I'm almost done. You know, through all this restoration, the final product is a new you, is a new me. I praise God for that. I'm not the same guy. I may look like the same guy, and I'm getting older, so I'm looking a little bit different, and I'm walking a little different, and I'm acting a little bit different. We do that. We change. But you know what? I'm new inside. I'm new, and I'm brand new inside. I'm cleansed. I'm clean. And praise God for that. You know, with a major restoration, when that breakthrough takes place in our lives, when we begin to talk with God and take Him at His word, it's the truth of God's promise that breaks the power of the lies that we have come to believe according to God's promise. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, those who have put their faith in Christ are a new creation. The old self has been done away with, stripped of its power over us, and redeemed through the death and resurrection of Christ. We hold this to be true. Amen?
Amen.
I hold this to be true. You know, there are days, I'll say this, there's days, I have my days, when I don't feel like I've been made new. I've had those days before. I've had those days when I may not have even really acted like I've been made new. I admit that. I work hard on that. The closer I stay to the Lord, the more I fellowship with Him and desire that relationship with Him, the less days I have of those. I don't have as many of them days as I used to. But the promise of God is that we have indeed been made new. Amen. I've been made new. You've been made new. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul makes a list of several sinful practices, if you remember. And in verse 11, he writes this. He says, and that is what some of you were. You were that. You're not that anymore. Because why? You've been restored. Your lives have been changed. You've been made new. Amen?
Amen.
Think about that. And in verse 11, and he says, some of you were like this. You were like this. He goes on to say, but you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our Lord God. Think about that. Notice the three things here that Paul said. He says that they had been washed. They'd been made clean. They'd been sanctified. They'd been made holy. And justified. They'd been declared innocent. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. I hope you feel that this morning. I hope you realize that you've been made clean, that you've been justified, and you've been made holy. And now you can live in the freedom of forgiveness and grace. Amen. Man, that's shouting ground right there. I mean, like I said, we get so excited about things. 69 Dodge Charger with a 440 in it. Exciting. Corvette. That's exciting. ''40 Plymouth. Three on a tree. Not so exciting.
Not so exciting.
But really cool.
Really cool, yes.
Amen. I just asked you this morning, have you accepted that full promise of God? Have you accepted this desire that God has to restore you? All He asks for is, instead of a will, just make that decision. We can want to do a lot of things. We can want to do a lot of things, but sometimes it just takes the effort. We just have to make that step. We just have to accept that. God wants us to live a holy life. He wants us to be close to Him, and the closer we are to Him, it's the only way that we can live a holy life. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the only way we can do it. You can't read enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't do anything enough. All you have to do is accept the Holy Spirit in your life and let Him, and that's all you have to do. And He'll mold you and make you and transform you and restore you to the place where He wants you to be.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your Word, Lord, and I believe every sentence. I believe every caricature of every word. Lord, I ask You to be here with us. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know You, that doesn't know Your Holy Spirit, that doesn't know what a relationship with You is all about, Lord, I just say right now, just open up your hearts and just accept Him. Lord, I praise You. Lord, be with us in this next step here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.